He told me that he loved me. He told me that I was his child. I felt like nobody loved me, but I found out greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friend. I thought that I didn't have a friend, but I found a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. Do I have a witness here? Can you testify and tell somebody in your daily walk that I've been with Jesus? Can they tell who you've been with? Do I have any witnesses? So all I'm saying is that you gotta become a true worshiper. You gotta be dedicated. All I have and all that I am, it belongs to God. Do I have a witness here? Say yes.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Song said just the other day, I heard a man say that he didn't believe in God's word, but I can truly say that the Lord has made a way, and he's never, no, never failed me yet. If that's your testimony, come on, give him some praise in the house today. I certainly thank God for each of you today, as God has transitioned us from 2010 to 2011, and God is so faithful. And I pray you as well, are grateful for the blessings of the Lord past, for the blessings of the Lord present, and for the blessings of the Lord future. What he's already done is but a small thing concerning what he is capable of doing. And so we certainly bless the people of God today. I was praying and meditating. You can sit down for just a moment. And our first service in every year is always a time of listening and yielding to God and hearing God. Now we are embarking upon a great project, as it relates to our building of our edifice for our family center and multi-purpose center and all of that good stuff. But more than that, God wants me to share with you that he wants to build up the body. The people of God. So that you not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. That you be covered under the blood of Jesus. That you walk in authority. That you say what the word says. And have what the word says. That you're able to bind stuff that's been binding you. And loose the blessings and the power and the grace of God on your life. The favor of God on your life. You know, we've said so many times, if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always gotten. Let me say this to you. If we keep having service the way we've always had service, we're going to get all what we've always gotten out of service. But when we allow the Holy Spirit of God by his word to lead and to guide us. Yes, the program is important and that is structure, and we have that, and that's wonderful. But God, because it is his house, we are his people. We're led by his spirit. Whenever he desires to change the program, we ought to say, have thine way, O Lord. And that's when people are healed, and that's when people are delivered, and that's when the Spirit of the Lord comes and there is liberty in the place. Deliverance comes on a level you've never experienced it before, when God's Spirit can flow the way he wants to flow. The people of God needs to know it's not just about having church, but it's about worshiping him. And you've got to love him with your own heart. You've got to love him with your whole heart. You've got to love him for yourself. I can't do that for you. The person on the side of you can't do that for you. Only you can do that for you. What he's done for you, he's done for you. What he's done for me, he's done for me. And so I want us to prepare our hearts, because this year we're going to be moving more in a spirit of unity. And even in numerology, 1 and then 11 is just double 1. It's going to be unity as we desire, as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost operate in unity. So does he desire the people of God, the family of God, to operate in unity. Do you know how much stronger we would be if we were working in unity and in unison together? Do you know how much higher and further and faster we could grow if we came together and loved and lived as God wanted us to? You see, unity is what it's all about. Tell your neighbor, unity. Tell him, a house divided against itself shall not stand. Amen. That is the word of the Lord. And so we know God wants us to operate in unity. People are going to be blessed this year in a special way, especially as the church, this local fellowship, operates in a spirit of unity, because unity operates in every area where it is permitted to be operational. I mean, that's in faith, that's in body, that's in mind, that's in spirit, that's in finances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When we learn how to pray one for another, pray one with another, the power of God, the glory of God will come in and do what we could not do by ourselves. Two again together have a greater reward than one. If one fall, the other can reach down and pull him or her up. But some of us think that we're an island unto ourselves. I need you to know you're not. You need me, and I need you. And we both need God. And if we learn how to look out and care for and bless one another in that spirit of unity, no, we're not in it by ourselves. And God's not called us to be in it by ourselves. And we need to know that together we stand, divided we fall. There is a word in Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. And it simply says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he had set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. My brothers and sisters, when we look at this word today, it's all about God's timing. Somebody say, God's timing.
God's timing.
Why is God's timing so important? When we recognize, when we look at the fact that God's timing is what brings about the promise of God, the power of God, the protection of God, and the provisions of God, it is quite clear that when we operate in God's timing, how many times have we, in our own experiences, gotten ahead of God and messed up? Listen, what God told us was right, but he didn't tell us when to operate in it. And some of us miss it like Jeremiah did when he called Jeremiah as a young boy and told him that he knew him before he was ever formed in his mother's womb. He had ordained him a prophet unto the nations. He made it clear to him. He knew who he was. He knew what he would ordain him to do. But listen to this. He never gave him the fullness of time at the time he revealed the vision. And so sometimes many of us miss God because we miss the timing of God. God says, I'm going to do this in your life. And you say, but praise the Lord, God told me this. But did he tell you when? He gave you a word, but that word is connected with his timing. And so when we begin to look at that and recognize that timing, even in the natural realm, just as it is in the supernatural realm, has its proper place. Listen, you can be on the right trail just at the wrong time. I forget the songwriter who said, I was in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. Yeah, don't act like y'all don't know the word. Even the world recognizes you can be in the right place at the wrong time. I've got some money in the bank, but I promise you, if I go to the bank at the wrong time. If I try to get in and the doors are locked and I say, but all I want is my money, I've got to operate according to the structure of the plan and the times that they operate for business. There are times that they close their doors and they're no longer operating in business time. And so there are just some things that we miss with God, though it may be ours, though it is what God has said, though it is what God has promised, many of us miss God's timing. Again, the record says that God has made everything beautiful in his time. Now the question becomes, his time, is it his as in time, or is it his as in God's divine authority and timing? It's both. It's both. In other words, whatever God has assigned for you as a blessing, as a vocation, as an occupation, it all has a time stamp on it. Listen, and if it has a time stamp on it, then the time has been stamped by the owner. In other words, if God says, I'm going to do this at such and such a day at an appointed time, then it's going to happen whether you like it or not, know it or not, because God is the one, as the old folks say, who rules and super rules. And super rule means he rules those who think they're ruling. That's why timing is in God's hand. That's why we rush and we run and we do all that we can do to make things work in our timing, and it never works like it ought to work, because we miss that if God has not stamped his time stamp on it for that time, it will not happen. It will not work. There's some things that I want you to know about that, because many times we miss God because we get ahead of him. We rush ahead of him. And when we rush ahead of God's perfect timetable, we can miss him and miss our blessing at the same time. Proverbs 19:2 says, he who makes haste by with his feet errs. That's the end portion of that verse. 19 and 2 of Proverbs. If you run with your feet and don't think with your head and or your heart, if you get excited just because you see it or just because he said it and you've not gotten all the information, you are going to err. You're going to make a mistake. Why? Just getting in a rush and in a hurry and not knowing all of the specifics or the information messes up the end result. Also, how can you also miss God in the time? And not just by rushing and running, but secondly, by lagging behind. Often out of fear or failure or some other reason that we don't think it's going to happen, we lag behind. We want to see things happen rather by sight than by faith. Listen, if God tells you move now, can I tell you now is the time you ought to move? You can't lag behind and wait, well, I want to see how this is going to turn out first before I do this. Faith is a now active word. Faith is about moving not on what you see, but what God has said. And some of us are going to miss God's timing because we're lagging behind rather than hearing and moving at the time of God's call. Let me tell you, one of the ways that you can know God is speaking to you and ordering you and ordaining you to move now is he stirs you up and gives you the wherewithal to move now. If you don't have everything you need to move now, then though he has shown you your direction, though he's shown you the path, if you don't have the power or the provisions, it means not now, not yet, but get ready. And so sometimes God just has to wake us up and get us together. You don't wake up and just jump out the bed and start running. Especially if you know what is ahead in your day, what you planned in your day, what you've got scheduled in your day. You start moving toward every progressive step toward fulfilling those things in that day. What happens when we lag behind in the day? We become late. And some things get shortchanged in the day to try and catch up with other things so we can try and get back on schedule. But it's because we've lagged behind. But there's something in Psalm 37 that I want us to see as well, because this is important. And here's in verse 5, it says this, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Now look at what it starts off with. Commitment. See, I will never rush God. I'll never lag behind God if I commit myself to God. Because when I hear him and my spirit is attuned to him, then I will move at God's command. And God will always command you to move. You don't have to even worry about that. But Lord, when will I know it's your time for me to move? When I command you. It's a stirring in your spirit. You couldn't stay. Jeremiah gives us again an inkling of this, an understanding of this. Jeremiah had gotten mad because God told him all of these things were going to happen when he was a young boy. And then here he is now an old man, and the fruition of many of these things had not come to pass. And so he got mad with God. And you know the story. He wanted to resign, give up, throw his hands up and say, I've had enough of this. But then God's word was in him as a burning fire. Now, has anyone ever felt fire, been burned by fire, got a little too close to fire? Now, if fire makes you move when it's on you, can you imagine what it'll do if it's... I mean, he could not, the Bible says, stay. He couldn't sit down. He couldn't be calm. He could not rest himself because God's word stirred him up as a fire shut up. Listen, not in his flesh, but in his bone. He couldn't put that fire out because he couldn't reach it. And see, that's what I love about the fire of the Lord. You can't put it out like talking about. And so when God commands you, listen, he empowers you. He enlivens you. He blesses you to the point and place where you've got to move because it's his power, not yours. And so when you commit your will unto the Lord, what you've got to see is you've got to trust him. Stop trusting yourself. That's why you haven't gotten where you ought to be, because you're trusting everything and everybody but God. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Why am I trusting in him? Because there's none other I can trust in, including myself. But the word says this, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, here's what's interesting about this word. Because when you go back and follow the verses that precede this word, and you discover that God has given us a mandate to trust him, to follow him, to obey him, and watch him bless us and bring to pass everything he has concerning us, which means this: what he's going to bring to pass is what he has promised he's going to do for us, going to do in us, and do to us for his glory and our good. And he shall bring it to pass. Not what I want, but what he wants for me. Not where I am, but where he wants me to be. Not who I am as me, but who I shall be as he has designed me to be. He shall bring it to pass. And here's three things that you need to realize. And they're in these verses in this 37 number of Psalms. One of the things that you want to need to realize again is he tells us to rest in him. Rest in him. Well, we really can't rest. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Listen, for who? See, if I wait for him, listen, what he has for me comes with him. So I need to stop waiting. I get restless when I'm looking for his stuff rather than him. But if I'm waiting for him, his stuff comes with him. You know, God wants you again. I've said it so many times. He wants you to fall in love with him, not with what he gives to you. That's why we keep missing it year after year. That's why 2011 won't be no better than 2010 if we keep looking for stuff rather than the source. If we just keep looking for a new car, new home, new job, new raise, new money, this, that, it's about him. And he shall bring it to pass. You seek God. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, the stuff you have need of, the stuff you're looking for, the stuff you're desiring, is going to come in 2011. But you've got to trust him. You think about it. What did you do yesterday differently in this new year than you had done previously? What different? You probably had black-eyed peas and cabbage or greens. I mean, you went through your traditional this, that, and the other. You probably sat down and just watched games like you do, you know, baseball, football. Ain't nothing wrong with all of that. But here's what you need to know. If you don't do things different, you can't receive things differently. God's not going to do anything different than you set yourself up to receive from him. So many of us have made resolutions. And the only resolution that really matters the most is committing yourself to God. Because I've got news for you. Most folk can never ever see those resolutions come to pass outside of God. God is your help. God is your hope. God is your strength. And without God, you can't expect everything else to fall in place. Because listen to this. The things that you may have set for your goals and your agenda may not all be that God wants for you. May not be what God is desiring for you. How many of us honestly said, God, what do you want my goals to be? What do you want my life to be? What do you want me to do for you in 2011? Let me set my agenda by yours, by your word. How many of us have said that to the Lord? I pray for a healthy and wealthy and rich new year, prosperous new year. That's wonderful. We pray for those things. But where are they on our list of priorities? Have we really made our list and put God first? Have we said to God, God, I want to be better for you. I want to be better to you. I want to be better, period, so that you will receive the glory through my life. Many of us said that to God. Now, most of us have called God up and petitioned God for what we wanted in this new year. When can we make it about him? You see, maybe we may have started yesterday wrong or as business as usual. But today is a brand new day. And we are so fresh in this new year that we can correct the pattern of tradition right now. We can change and turn around and say, God, I want this year to be about you. More than about me. I want you to have your way in my life more than I've ever wanted you to be before. And begin seeking him from this day forward. And I promise you, next week when we come back here, you'll be a better you, a different you already. You'll be surprised what 1 week makes in the life of somebody who really loves the Lord. You'll be surprised at how intimate you and God will become in this week, from this Sunday till next Sunday, if you say, God, I want to rewrite my agenda for 2011, and I've got my pen and my paper in hand, and I'm going to have a little talk with you, and I'm going to jot down what you want me to do for you and what you want me to become in this year. And I promise you, if you're sincere with God, God's going to do some fantastic and phenomenal things in you, in an average life, in a common life. I'm not talking about somebody who has everything working for them and super educated and doors open. I'm talking about the average person experiencing God on uncommon levels, because God is looking for a whosoever will. And I need you to know, this word today is because God wants us to know that everything is beautiful that God has created in his time. What God's got for you, you're going to get it. In his time. What God's called you to be and God called you to do, you're going to be and do that. In his time. The record is clear. He's not a man that he should lie. So if he said it, he's got to perform it. The record is clear. That's how God operates. But he's going to do it in his time. You don't need to go running out looking for nothing or no one. Trust God. Seek God. Live for God. And when the right time comes, listen, God will produce, manifest, bring to pass what it is he's got for you. I keep telling you, the reason why God hadn't given you what he's promised or what you've asked for is either you're not ready for it or it's not ready for you. And here's what you need to know. You've got to get yourself together and be ready for it. I'd rather be waiting on God than God be waiting on me. And timing is everything. The 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The 5 foolish missed God because they were not ready for his timing.
That's right, that's right.
What did that time say? That he may not come when you want him. But at the right time, he's going to show up. Opportunities don't always come at an opportune time. But here's what you got to know. You've got to be wise enough to see it, hear it, know it, and jump on it. When Jesus got word that his good friend Lazarus was sick unto death, he delayed his coming to him until he was dead and in a grave.
That's right.
Now, unless you're Jesus and you can control either time or the effects of time, then you are subject to his time. And Lazarus was subject